These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
It's time for another edition of the Kashi Tapes. I'm John Hewlett with the mighty Favaz.
Hi, Johnny.
How you doing, Fozzie?
I'm good, man.
Hey, our show, our Kashi Tapes, is brought to you by Black Raven AFC.
That's right. You know, websites are not like the movie Field of Dreams. Just because you have one doesn't mean that people will come to your website. So you have to put together a good search engine optimization plan with a team right here in St. Louis, and that's your first step in getting found, and you can do that with Black Raven AFC. Just don't just get found when people look for you. Get found when people look for what you do. Let Black Raven AFC help you today. Just go to blackravendigital.com and reach up today.
Today's subject matter is an interview that Favaz did with Jonathan Cain of Journey, who's been with the band for a long time.
A long time, and we start off the interview talking about that, and I believe this interview is in the early 2000s, and you know, here's a guy that played with the Babies. Right?
Yeah, right.
And, switched over to Journey, and he came over at a really good time because I think Escape might have been his first record.
Yes, yes.
And he helped to co-write, you know, a lot of those big hits, and, yep. And he co-wrote a bunch of big hits, so.
Right, right. Recently, he's been espousing in his social media his Christianity.
Yes.
He's a very deeply faithful man, and his marriage, and it caused some controversy between him and Neil Schon for a while.
It sure did, and it's amazing. You know, Journey just announced a big-time tour for 2020, so,
right.
You know, money talks and bullshit walks, John.
Yeah. Well, Neil was saying, hey, you know, you can, you know, be as religious as you want, just don't put it out there in our social media and make it part of our business plan,
right.
Almost. You know,
right.
Jonathan was putting it out a lot.
Right.
So he said, it just tempered down a little bit. So they've worked out some sort of compromise, and I guess they're through it.
And they're going to go out on a four-month tour with the Pretenders and make a lot of money. So
yeah, and a show here in St. Louis.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So here we go.
All right, everybody, it's Favaz with me on the phone, the longtime keyboard player of Journey, and that would be Jonathan Cain. And Jonathan, how many years now for you?
Oh, let's see. 81, so yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
1981.
26 years, huh?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Welcome back to KC in St. Louis.
Hey, well, it's good to be, coming back, and, we're excited to bring a great show with us this time. We're really looking forward to playing with Cheap Trick and Heart.
Yeah, this is a great package. Journey, Cheap Trick and Heart, September 13th at Verizon, and tickets will go on sale this Saturday. But there's a lot going on in the Journey camp. And Jonathan, I got to ask you about your new lead singer. And it's widely known now that the singer, Arnel Pineda, was singing Journey covers in a band in the Philippines. And Neil Schon went on YouTube and found this guy. And it's the first that I've heard of a band of Journey size to do something like this. Did you think Neil was nuts at first?
I actually clicked on the clip, soon he called me and said, you got to click on this and check it out, you know. And so I listened to a couple songs, and I immediately saw what Neil was saying. I just thought, how difficult is this going to be to pull this off, you know, just to get him out of the Philippines and get him in the country with the, tightening up on immigration and all that. So that was a tricky deal, getting him over here and meeting him and getting him here. But, I knew what Neil had heard right off the bat. I said, the kid can really sing. You know, that was pretty.
So, for those that don't know, Arnel Pineda, I think it's Pineda, was found by Neil Schon of Journey. He is still, to this day, the singer, and he sounds just like Steve Perry, except he's about this tall.
Yeah.
He's shorter than me.
Yeah.
Shorter than you.
Right.
You know?
And, yeah, initially you got to think, too, maybe cultural differences. How's he going to fit in with the band and all that kind of stuff? Right. Apparently no problem.
Right. And this interview is 2007 because I said 26 years and he said 1981. Mm-hmm. So it's 2007. So, and I remember going to that Heart Journey Cheap Trick package that they had out there, and it was amazing. It was weird. I remember just seeing Journey, because I was a huge Journey fan. I saw Journey back in the day with Steve Perry, you know, when they started out at Kiel and all that. It was weird seeing Arnell at first, because he sounds just like him, but he doesn't look like him.
No. You know? Well, and he's not the first one to replace Steve Perry.
He's not.
Aguirre, what's his first
Steve
name?
Steve Aguirre.
Steve Aguirre was the first one, and I struggled with that one.
Yeah.
So when they added, you know, they switched replacement singers, I'm like, oh boy, all right, this I had even less respect for the whole situation. But as time goes on and you realize, hey, Van Halen switched lead singers, a lot of groups over the years have had different lead singers and have survived, and Journey's more than just the singing too. I mean, Neil Schon's guitar playing is spectacular, you know.
Yeah, it was good songwriting all the way around,
right? And the songs are so good, and they had so many of them. It would be a shame not to keep the band going. So they did the right thing, you know, as it turns out.
Yep.
Pretty obvious after, you know, listening faithfully and just wanted to know, you know, what else, what kind of guy he was. And, you know,
sure.
I was sort of worried, you know, about his English and all that stuff. And then, you know, after meeting him, we found out that he was a great kid and, you know, had really lived a pretty full life. And, he's a survivor, he's a fighter, and he's an amazing tenor. You know, he has a great, he just excelled and, you know, fell into it and, you know, made that record pretty effortlessly. I mean,
I wonder how you figure out how to pay a guy like that.
I know.
You know?
Because he's coming in brand new.
Right.
He is the singer, so you got to look at it like that. I don't know.
What's the going salary?
Yeah.
That's the question we need to ask.
The two records, actually. He made two
maybe
records.
Maybe I do ask. I don't know.
You know, a couple months, so.
Now, but, I mean, when Neil, did Neil tell you ahead of time, hey, look, I'm going to look on YouTube for a singer?
No, we were both looking.
Oh, you were both looking. Okay.
Yeah, we were both going. I had found a guy we really thought was pretty good, but we wanted to keep looking, you know, because we just thought, you know, well, let's just see what else there is out there and before we, you know, just settle. So that was the kind of deal, you know, that... it was. And
did he absolutely, you know, freak out when you told him?
You know, he didn't believe us at first. I think Neil contacted him first and got his number by, you know, clicking on these emails addresses that, you know, are on the side of the YouTube, found out who posted those videos, and then Arnell didn't believe him, you know, at first, and said, yeah, pulling my leg and this and that. And but then you know, really it was great. You know, he finally, you know, said, well, what do I need to do, you know, to convince you that I'm Neil Schon?
I don't remember why they decided to switch replacement singers. What happened to Steve Aguirre?
I don't
falling
know.
Out of some sort.
I don't
maybe.
Remember.
Yeah.
Play a lick over the phone, probably?
Yeah, you know, so, but then, you know, we got together with his manager, and then Arnell came, and, but the funny story was when he was trying to get his visa, he had, you know, he had to go to the embassy, and this guy had seen Arnell sing, you know, and he said, I know you do some Journey, but you know Wheel in the Sky, and Arnell, he said, can you sing Wheel in the Sky for me? And so he sang it a cappella in the office, you know, and the guy stamped his visa. They said, you're going, bud.
That's great.
Was so impressed with Arnell's performance right there at the spot, you know.
Yeah.
So he put Arnell in this.
That's a great story.
That's neat. Yeah.
Spot, and you know, this guy. He's pretty fearless. His first gig with us was in South America, in Chile, at the Viña del Mar Festival for 25 million people, national television. You know, it was like South America was beamed out all over all the countries there.
Uh-huh.
And then his fourth gig, we just had to record a DVD in Vegas. You know, no big stress.
Yeah, really, no pressure.
And so, like, you know, he's got the... you know, he's got the Tom Brady, Joe Montana quarterback grace, you know, and he just he wins when he needs to get it done. He gets it done. It was really great.
That's awesome.
No stress for him. He just sings, you know. He's a great singer.
We're talking.
And he knows our stuff, and, you know, and I think he really breathes a lot of passion and life into it.
The KSHE tapes will continue in just a moment, but let me tell you about our sponsor, Black Raven AFC. Now, every business needs a good website. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Not just to make you look good, but because your clients, your customers, and potential new hires, they're all online. They need to find you. And more than that, they need to see your brand shine and make a real connection with you through your website right away. If you aren't making a difference to the people who you're trying to reach, or worse, your site is too slow, doesn't connect properly, or is hard to use by your team, you need Black Raven AFC. They can help. When you're ready to make your website really matter, let Black Raven AFC help. Go to blackravendigital.com and reach up today. blackravendigital.com.
We're talking to Jonathan Cain of Journey, and Journey will be here in St. Louis September 13th with Cheap Trick and Heart at Verizon. Tickets on sale Saturday. And also with Journey this year, very exciting, a new release coming out called Revelation, which is a three-disc CD and a DVD package to be sold.
And biblical sounding.
Exclusively at Walmart's in North America, which a lot of bands are doing now, Jonathan. Did you have any trepidation at all in giving that to Walmart?
No, I saw it happen with the Eagles, and no. It was...
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. For people who don't know, the Eagles were the first to do this launch CD, and Walmart's only. It's the only place you can get the CD when they released it.
Right.
And sales were...
It's huge.
Huge.
Yes.
No, it's kind of a no-brainer at this stage of our career. You know, I mean, some bands can't get away with something like this, but...
Right.
For a limited time only, it was available at Walmart.
Right, and then everybody else got it.
We are, in our career, we have to kind of reinvent our business model, and, you know, those guys really relate to Journey, and we've met them all, and they're psyched, and we're psyched, and we just think it's a good fit. You got to, you know, remember, we're not on Sony anymore, so.
Exactly. You know,
We want to get our product out, and I'm really curious to see what the classic rock stations are going to think about our remakes.
First of all,
I'm pretty impressed with some of them. They're really...
So you did...
They really hit it.
So you did... One of the discs are 11 re-recorded classics. So you did 11 older songs with Arnell then, right?
That's right. New band, Arnell, yeah.
What are some of the old ones you did? Like, can you give us just a few?
Well, we did most of the greatest hits, and we added Stone in Love.
Oh, okay.
Because Stone in Love wasn't on the greatest hits, and we thought, you know, this would be fun to put this on. So there's a lot of, you know, Be Good to Yourself, Faithfully, Open Arms, Don't Stop Believing, Separate Ways, Who's Crying Now.
Wow.
And, you know, great reads. We were true to the originals, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We tried not to get cute with them, you know.
Right.
But there's some great playing and really great reads on some of these songs. So I think it'll be fun for the... Even if you don't like new music, you're still going to like this package because... I know a lot of our fans don't care for any new music, you know.
You're right.
Yeah. We were just talking about that on the air the other day.
Yeah.
About why is it that these artists who put out all this great music over a period of time, nobody cares to hear their new music? Why?
You want to know why I don't? Because I don't care. I think as you get older, you write about different stuff and... lyrically, and the song, the musically, it's just not as good. And so, you know, when you're in your 20s, you're writing about, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, whatever. You know, Jonathan Cain wrote Faithfully, helped to write Faithfully and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, but Faithfully is a song you could have written in an old age,
right,
too.
But I don't want to hear him write a song about, you know, being in love when he's, you know, pushing 60. You know, or any, I just don't care, man. Yeah. No, yeah, I'd rather have a younger band do it.
Why? They don't know any more about love than an older person knows.
But then to me, if you like Steve Perry put out a new record last year, you know, it's just like easy listening stuff.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was easy
with the lyrics because, you know,
Yeah, but he put out easy listening stuff back in the 80s too, 70s and 80s. So. I just can't find an explanation for it other than everybody has their time. When their time is up, they're done.
Right.
It's just kind of like this. Seems like the machine just wants it that way. But as individuals, we don't necessarily have to go along with what the machine wants. Why can't we accept new music from really good people who are still good musicians?
I like hearing the younger bands do stuff because it's edgier, and they haven't been through. you know, everything that we've been through and the people that put out this music at an advanced, you know, at an older age, what they've been through. So maybe they're still green and, you know, it's just like, I don't care about music.
I just find it hard to explain why, though. I know I don't care necessarily either.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to the answers. Why don't I? Right. What could it be? Yeah. All right, back to the interview.
The old stuff. So it's something for everybody, you know?
Yeah, because the second CD, the second CD is filled with 11 new songs. And
that's right.
So how did that whole process go?
Well, you know, Neil and I just had all these songs sitting there, and Arnell just came and sang them. It was that easy.
Really?
You know, Neil and I have been writing since 98, you know, the two of us. I think we know what Journey's about, so... And we own 2/3 of the catalog anyway, so.
Now,
wow, that's pretty impressive there.
Yeah.
I mean, impressive that he said that.
Right. I don't think they like Steve at this time.
Yeah. Plus, they don't usually talk their business. We own 2/3 of the catalog.
We'll write with Arnell the next time around, you know.
When will Radio get the first single? Is the first single going to be an older song or a newer song?
No, we have a ballad, I think. We're going with a rocker and a ballad. We have two, you know, we're going to service both formats. I think the old disc will just be whatever you guys want to play, you know.
Right.
But I think it's going to stir up a lot of controversy. I think it's he's done such a good job, really, really great job.
Yeah,
and
I mean, the fans,
it's kind of, we own the masters now, so that's really exciting, you know.
Oh, so their masters didn't get burned up in that
fire.
Didn't.
They own them.
Yeah,
they own those too.
Look real fast while he's talking here. How much Neil Schon is worth and Jonathan Cain? It'd be interesting to find out.
Okay,
since they own 2/3 of the Journey catalog, see what that kind of computes to.
I think you've just whet the appetite of every Journey fan, knowing that you re-recorded 11 songs with your new singer. I mean, I that right there, you could have just put that out.
Exactly, and you know, we thought we'd add 4 songs, and then we thought, no, let's give the fans a new CD, and then you know, and it was like. It was a cool idea to kind of mix it up like this. And then, you know, you get the DVD of a couple new songs and all the classics, and just you get a feel for what Journey's about right now. And, you know, we go in some new directions with the band on the...
What do you think about that, re-recording old Journey songs with this new singer here?
I don't... It's like, you know, I get
it's unnecessary.
Right.
So there's only one reason why it would happen. Money.
Right.
Business.
Well, I wasn't going to go totally there. I was just going to go, here's what it's going to sound like with the new singer. This is how much he sounds like Steve Perry. You know, that's what it was. By the way, Neil Schon is worth $40 million. Jonathan Cain is worth $30
million. Okay. What about Steve Perry?
I don't know. I'll look him up.
Yeah, look him up, too.
New disc, and then there's the familiar territory that, you know.
Sure.
So we tried to push the envelope a little bit musically, so we tried to get a few new...
Who came up with the touring package, Jonathan? I mean, this is Journey, Heart, and Cheap Trick. Those are big bands.
You know, this is just our management. They're just fantastic. Irving Azoff Management Frontline. They're just geniuses, you know.
Yeah, they've been around a long time.
$45 million.
$45 million.
Steve Perry.
Even though he owns 1/3 of the cat. No, well.
It would be him.
Yeah.
It would be Sean, Cain and Perry.
We've been with him, again, since 98. And actually, it was 96. Yeah, we've been with him for 12 years now.
Wow.
But how could Steve Perry be worth more when he's not doing any of the touring and making any of the money off these tours like Neil Schon has?
I don't know, John. It's the magic of Google.
And they're the best. That's all. You know, and they stuck with us through all of this. You know, we're sorry to see Steve Augeri go, but his health was failing him and his voice wasn't holding up. And, you know, we just felt like the fans deserve, you know, somebody that can really pull this thing off night after night. And we just think Arnell's the guy, you know.
Right on.
So, Augeri, there you go. They answered the question I asked earlier in this podcast. So he was losing his voice. His voice wasn't holding up.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, on drums is Dean Castronovo.
Dean Castronovo, yep.
Ross
on bass and Neil, of course.
Right.
Neil, the great Neil Schon. And
Dean Castronovo was in the band Hardline with Neil Schon. They did a remake of that Casey Classic song, Hot Cherie.
Yeah. That was a good version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Cain.
So I'm excited. I got a new piano this year. I'm playing an Italian hybrid. It's... marvelous instrument. So we got a new singer, and I just
got a new piano.
It was time to get a new one.
Yeah. All right. Journey, Heart, Cheap Trick, September 13th, Verizon. Tickets on sale Saturday. Jonathan, I wish the show was next week.
Well, you know, I'm a big Cardinals fan, so I'm friend of Tony La Russa's.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They're friend from of the La Russa's. Bay Area.
I wonder if he's still a Cardinals fan now. La Russa's gone. I don't know. Or he was before La Russa.
Right.
Where's he from? Well, Jonathan Cain.
I don't know where he's from. But you know where the band is from.
Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah. But, let me check on that.
I got to tell you, I'm a big baseball fan, so hopefully I'll get a little time to go to a game or something.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll be in the hunt for the playoffs then. You never know. So.
Yeah, well, last time we had Tony come on stage and introduce us. So if he's in town, he'll be there.
All right. Right on. Jonathan Cain, thanks for talking to us today, and we'll see you in September.
All right. Thank you, man.
All right. There you go.
So where is he from, John?
I don't know. Let's see, what would make him a Cardinals fan, possibly, even if he didn't know La Russa? And the answer is, because the babies were English. Now, he's obviously not English.
Right.
The answer is he was born in Chicago, Illinois.
Wow. What? So he should be a Cubs or White Sox fan.
Yeah, that's weird. Mm-hmm. That is really weird. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, that was April 3rd, 2007, as I find it now. And so, you know, Journey is now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they all got back together.
Yeah.
Steve Perry was there, Arnell. They had their moment together. And Journey is still a viable touring act. And each year, they take out somebody cool. You know, and this year they're going on with the Pretenders, so it's a good gig.
Yep, it's going to be a good show. And Chrissy Hynde still singing for the Pretenders. That'd be a good interview to get Chrissy Hynde.
Yeah,
dang it. All right, well, that's it for episode 57 of the KC Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan, and on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
And I am Favaz, and the KC Tapes is brought to you by Black Raven Digital.
AMF. Adios, my friend.
Bitches.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.